This episode of the Trade Waiters podcast is brought to you by the two of us. We pay for everything involved with it.
And we hire ourselves.
And we don't even pay ourselves.
No.
Can we go on a strike?
Yeah, because this is bullshit.
Yeah.
You're like the worst boss.
You're the worst co-boss. Welcome to the Trade Waiters podcast, the comic book club where we talk about a different trade paperback every week. My name is Nathan. Daniel is my brother, who's also the co-host. And we read books.
Mm-hmm.
That's the gist.
I was like, I think you got it all.
Yeah, I think that's mainly everything, other than the fact that we have lots of comic book news today.
We do? Okay, I have like two things.
Okay, let's start with what you got.
There's another Boys trailer.
Another one, dude?
Yeah.
Wow.
I feel like we just got one, but it looks so good.
I barely watched the first one because I don't want it to be spoiled for me.
There are some things I wish I didn't know prior, but, you know, I think I'll forget them by the time the show comes on.
Yeah.
Which is what's good about having like a bad memory, because then you can rewatch shows and experience it like the first time.
That's the good thing of just consuming so much content, is that you can't possibly remember anything. You consume so much that you don't know anything.
It's a great way to live.
Yes.
Can
you actually turn it down just a smidge?
Just a smidge. So it's going maybe like 70. How about that? Better?
I think so.
Okay. So there was a new Comic Book Day issue that was sent out by Image for Invincible.
Yep.
Wow. And it has, you know, little sneak peek at the animated series coming to Amazon.
So I'm confused about this.
Okay.
Is it not a movie? It's a series?
It's a series.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, that was my question. Thank you.
Yeah, it'd be an animated cartoon.
Cool. Series. Did you read it?
No.
Oh. Do you know when the animated series is coming out?
No. I think it's next year.
It's going to be so good, dude.
It's going to be
It's got to be best. Good.
Well, I don't know. I feel like the first like deluxe edition trade is a like kind of reels you in and you're addicted to it. So I'm not sure if they'll get to I'm sure they'll, you know, shorten it up and compress it to where it's like all of the good stuff. Because there is like a lot of issues, and so it's gonna be great. It's gonna be like the best
we should do a big Invincible episode.
Ooh, that'd be lovely.
It'd have to be a giant Invincible episode.
biggest episode.
Okay, yeah, I did hear about that, but I didn't pick up the book at all, so wasn't sure what was in it.
It's mostly just character designs.
Oh, okay.
And, I was about to say, I think there's like a couple stills.
Okay.
I haven't looked at it yet, but I just know about it.
Cool. Nice. DC announced Injustice Year Zero.
Oh, yeah.
So one of my favorite like DC books of all time is Injustice Year One. Follows along with the game. And now they've done like 5 years of it or something, and I haven't gone up that far. I think I've gone through like halfway through Year Two. But cool to know that they're doing a Year Zero. So probably a prelude even to the game as well. So I'll be interested to see what happens there.
Because there's not too much of an actual storyline with the game, is there?
I would say there is.
Okay.
But
like as much of a storyline as the book?
No, the book has way more stuff in it and is way cooler than anything that happens in the game.
Okay.
But yeah, I think in general, and it's the same creative team doing it. So I know it's going to be pretty fire.
What was that guy's name?
Tom Taylor?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's the man.
Yeah. That's cool, because they're explaining like the alternate universe and like how it got there. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, that'd be neat.
There's a virtual fan dome trailer. Did you see that?
No.
There's not much to it, but it's coming next. I think fan dome is next week.
Oh, okay.
Or no, it's the 26th, I believe. So a couple weeks away, but there's a little trailer for that. Mark Wade. Have you heard of him?
Yeah, I love that guy.
Yeah. Him and Neil Adams are joining forces with a new Fantastic Four miniseries showcases the majesty of Galactus and the Silver Surfer alongside Marvel's First Family. And the book called Fantastic Four Antithesis or Antithesis. I don't. It's all one word.
It's so probably antithesis.
But then when you look at it, it's just anti. Like you can't.
It
say
sounds
antithesis.
Way cooler if you say antithesis.
It does antithesis. So I think that one's supposed to be more family based, which I think has been a big, like, a big thing with Fantastic Four books is that they don't really feel like as much of a family anymore. And Neil Adams is like a super old artist, so I think it's cool that he's getting a book.
Yeah.
But the big piece of news I have today, you heard of Fortnite?
Yeah.
They're getting a comic book.
Oh, God.
But
that's
not
the big news?
But not in the way that you think.
It's on Fortnite.
So, yes.
God.
So they will be in-game comics, like expanding on the Fortnite lore. And it's all going to be read in-game on your TV through a comic reader that they
what
have.
What if someone kills you?
I don't think you would be reading it while playing the game. I think it's just you can collect things and then it's go back the menu and read the game or read the book while not playing the game.
About the game?
Yeah. Super weird. I have no idea why they're doing this.
They had that like Travis Scott like music video thing in Fortnite and that was dope.
They had a Marshmello concert too.
Yeah, that too. Mm-hmm. But no, I think Travis Scott was like he's releasing a new song and that was like the music video and which was cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, that all seems it makes the shit work.
It sounds
outrageous.
They do creative things. To have a concert in a video game sounds ridiculous.
That's something I would do if I knew about it. Like I always hear about it after the fact.
It was pretty dope. I wasn't playing it, but I saw it live.
Especially right now when there's no concerts going on and people probably miss that shit.
I think it was going on during coronavirus, right? I think it was.
Yeah, early on. It was like April, I think.
So yeah, they're trying a bunch of things. I don't know what the point of doing the comics is, but who do you think would write a good Fortnite comic?
Dude, that would be fucking like who's that dude who writes all those number ones?
Who's the dude that writes all those number ones?
Yeah, he like
Colin Bunn.
Colin Bunn would write a Fortnite comic.
Dude, Colin Bunn starts so many new series. It's crazy.
It's like what, like 12 a year or something?
He's like generic brand Jeff Lemire.
Basically. But like, yeah.
That sounds harsh, actually. But
he's like,
he's done good.
He's great value. He's done great.
He's done great stuff. It's just he comes out with so much.
I stopped paying attention. Like, if I saw something that he's on, I just scrolled right past
I'm sure, like, at one point, he's had like 10 new series in a year.
Easily.
I'm sure. But yeah, Fortnite comics, the future of the comic book industry.
I swear to God, if that's what it goes to.
They might even have Marvel characters in it because they have officially licensed like Thanos and Captain America and like Deadpool.
Yeah, I was like, isn't Deadpool skin?
Yeah, Deadpool's on there. Batman's on there too, but I don't think they'll get that on there.
Yeah, that sounds expensive.
Yeah, but could potentially be the new Marvel versus DC. That's how they get it together.
Oh, that'd be nice.
Would you download Fortnite for free if they did that?
I would download Fortnite for free if they did that.
Nice. So yeah, that's the news for this week.
Sweet.
Scraping the bottom of the barrel a little bit, but
yeah. Anything that is remotely kind of related to
this thing has a comic in it. That's comic news.
We need to fill in some gaps.
Yes. So the book this week. What did we read and watch?
We read The Old Guard, and then we watched
The Old Guard. Both written by Greg Rucka.
Yeah, that was cool to see that he got to do the screenplay.
I knew that going into it.
I didn't know that. Because there's obviously going to be some changes for budgetary reasons and maybe, like, time.
Yeah.
And so I was like, what the fuck? That didn't happen. And I'm like, well, they didn't do this.
So did you watch the movie first?
No.
Okay.
I don't believe in that.
I watched the movie first.
Oh my God.
Because I like needed to work out. And so I was like, I'll put on the movie and pay attention to it a little bit while I crank out some push-ups.
I was fucking staring at the TV looking for every single difference I could think of. Dude, I have hella notes.
A lot of it was the same. Like
a lot of it. It was super true to the source material, which I love.
And like I was like two issues in and I was like, I wonder if this movie lines up exactly with the first trade, and it absolutely does.
Pretty close.
Yeah, pretty close. Well, I mean, as far as, like, I don't know how many issues Old Guard has.
There's two trades. There's, like, the main one, which we read, and then there's, like, another one that's titled differently. It's the Old Guard something.
So we read, like, the whole Old Guard original story?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I didn't know how long it would have gotten, but it was pretty fresh, you know?
Story?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I liked it a lot, actually.
Like, when I heard about, like, the pitch for the book or, like, the movie, I was like, we kind of seen this before,
mm-hmm.
kind of deal. Just, like, soldiers that don't die, they're immortal. But I feel like there's enough in here that makes it, like, genuinely very interesting of a story.
Kind of makes it
stand out. The idea is that there's these random people in random times in history that all of a sudden figure out that they can't die. And it happens randomly. So there's then a group of people that have then found each other via dreams that they have when another immortal person comes back alive for the first time after being dead, mm-hmm. and they find each other, and they became a special ops force called the Old Guard, and yeah. they go around and they do good.
And they're like a mercenary team.
Yeah, exactly. And so there's this Old Guard team, and they're doing stuff, and all of a sudden they find a new Old Guard person. And they go to find her.
They never said it anywhere, like the Old Guard. It was just kind of what it was called.
They mentioned it once, I think, in both instances. Like, oh, we're the Old Guard. They don't ever, like, really call themselves that.
Yeah.
They don't go, like, Transformers, like, Old Guard, roll out, you know?
But, yeah.
But,
it's kind of cringy when they do that sometimes where they have, like, the name of it in the movie.
Exactly.
But
I liked both of them. And the movie, I thought, was pretty awesome, too.
Yeah, it worked out really well.
It was longer than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, like, it was just over, like, 2 hours. But there were some spaces where I'm like, this is kind of dragged out. I don't remember this being long.
Yeah.
My problem with, you know, reading this, and then as soon as I'm done with the book, watching the movie, is that the book's, like, so fresh that everything that isn't what just happened in the book, it, like, bugs me, and I had to, like, write it down so I wouldn't keep thinking about it.
Okay.
You know what I mean? And it, like, started to become, like, distracting almost. Because
that there were slight alterations.
Yeah. And then the ones that are, like, totally different, not even in the book kind of thing.
It didn't bother me that much. There were some things that, like, that I knew were different. And I was like, oh, okay, that's interesting. I wonder why. And there are some things where I'm like, yeah, I think that's better in the movie.
Yeah. Some things I'm like, oh, they must not have been able to afford this.
It's like a Netflix but thing. Overall, I think I enjoyed the book way better.
Yeah.
But for a completely different reason. Like, the story is the same. The story is very simple, too. Mm-hmm. Like, in general. Like, I could tell you basically what the book was in, like, a couple words.
Sure.
But I think what makes it special in both the book and the movie is just how creative they get with it. Like, since they're super old, they, like, are messing around with, like, myths in time. And Andy is, like, there to, like, confirm it or whatever. But then they are... I don't know. They make it fun in, like, the little micro pieces of dialogue. So I think that's super cool. But especially with the book, phenomenal art.
Yeah. Oh, I loved it.
Unbelievable. The colorist in this book, unbelievable. I think totally carries the book.
Yeah, dude. What's this guy's name?
It is
Daniela something.
Daniel Miwa. Is it Daniela or Daniel?
Daniela Miwa is the tits.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
So, written by Greg Rucka, art and cover by Leandro Fernandez, Daniela Miwa, colors, letters by Jody Wynn.
Yep.
Yep.
And those are the people. Is it Daniela? Oh, yeah, it is.
Yep.
I missed the A when I was writing it down. Yeah,
the colors were sick.
The colors, I think, are my favorite part of the book. I'm not even kidding. Just because it's so, like they're so crazy, and, like, they don't... barely in this book does something look colored normally. It's always, like, very stylistic,
uh-huh.
and, like, a crazy color palette. But
the tones for, like, different settings were, like, perfect.
Awesome. And, like, Leandro's art is something that I don't, like, I feel like his art is something I don't normally see in books, just the way that, like, it is.
It's definitely, like, an independent book kind of style.
It really is, but I fuck with it so hard.
Definitely.
So, we're gonna get into it, so... issue one, right out the gate, we kind of find something out about Andy that wasn't a thing in the movie, but it opens with a little collage of the main character, whose name is Andy, and her living through different points in time and surviving different wars because she's immortal. And she's kind of like sick of living and dying over and over again to the point where she's just like sleeping with random people to pass the time. She meets with the rest of her immortal team in Barcelona to talk over a new job, since they are like a special ops force. The old guard, or that immortal team that Andy runs, is a team of four, and they also have that immortal power that Andy has, but they are hired to do a covert mission, like covert missions for the better good. Like, that's their overall,
they do what's right
motivation. Yeah. They for the most part try and do what's right. So they're talking about pursuing a mission in Paris where there's like child hostage situation going on, and they're potentially about to get human trafficked. And so this is a mission offered to them by Copley, someone that they worked with before, I guess. So
it's they pronounce it Copley in the movie, and I was like, that's wrong, because like, I read it Copley the entire time.
So Copley was the one that one actor played. What's his name? Chiwetel Ejiofor?
Damn, I was going to ask you to see if you can pronounce that, and I think you got it.
Yeah, he was in Doctor Strange.
Uh-huh.
He was the evil Doctor Strange in Doctor Strange.
Yeah, he was one of them. Hopefully they'll come back to that.
Yeah. he was a good actor. I think I liked Chiwetel's Copley better than this book, because I don't really care about what, like, you don't really know Copley's motivations.
Yeah,
in the book, he's, I guess, just
like working, really.
Yeah,
but the Copley in the movie is definitely like a better dude.
Yeah, in general, you like know, like, I think in general in the movie they were able to touch on what people's like, what their deal was in general, because Copley was just somebody that they knew one time that hired them to do this, and they did it because they kind of know him.
Yeah, and like, there was definitely more character development in the movie.
Exactly.
I guess they had more time or something.
Yeah,
because I thought they kind of, they're just kind of vague with everybody.
Uh-huh.
Except for, you know, the main characters showing their history and stuff.
Mm-hmm. I really like, what's the artist's name again? Leandro Fernandez. I really like this effect that he does when people are like, when there's light going around people, and he does like the individual beams of light going around people.
Oh yeah, that's pretty cool.
That shit's awesome.
I would
like, if I feel like if most artists try to do that, it would look weird, but the way that he does it, it's like, like, I can visualize what's going on there super well.
She's like standing in front of the sun, and it'll be kind of blinding.
Yeah, like part of the beams of light are going to blind you from certain parts of her face, and he does that super well.
If I did that, it would look like an unfinished drawing.
It would look like,
did you have tape over this and take it off?
Yeah, that's exactly what it would look like. also, the whole like Andy sleeping around, like that thing wasn't really touched on in the movie. She was just kind of walking around.
Yeah, it's not super important, but I think it gives her a little bit more of perspective of like what her life is like, you know. Like, you can't really,
it kind of like in the book, it kind of shows that she doesn't really care about what she's doing. She's just like passing the time and just sleeping around, just because
they don't like fall in love with everybody, but you still like are gonna have those feelings, and that's why she's doing that. And so I don't know, that might have been up to them, just like not worth putting in.
I thought it was interesting, because I didn't ever get that vibe from Andy's character in the movie. Played by Charlize Theron.
Yeah, it was cool that she was in that, give like that movie a little bit of star power. She's, to kind of get people,
she
to
does watch like it. A lot of cool stuff.
Yeah, like a lot of action stuff.
She does comic book stuff, like Atomic Blonde is based off a comic.
Yeah, The Coldest City.
Yeah. Other things.
And then, like, you know, Mad Max. Of like a sci-fi elements. Yeah.
I think of all of her roles, I didn't like her hair in this one. Like, I liked her hair the least in this role of all of her other roles. Because in, like, Atomic Blonde, it's, like, a weird, like, blonde wig thing, and then she, like, takes it off, and it's, like, other cool hair. And in Mad Max, it's, like, completely shaved, and it makes sense for that time, because, like, you don't want to get caught by your hair or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But in this movie, it's just, like, a weird, like,
it's basically just our, like, hair if we don't put gel in it.
Yeah, if we like comb it down, I guess.
Yeah, and that, it's not true to the book,
like, it's supposed to be short because like she's a soldier or whatever, but it's not short enough to get the point or like to have it be useful, I guess, for her.
It really doesn't matter that much, but I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
Oh, well, actually in Fate of the Furious, she had like cornrows. like braids, and then she had long hair, so it like went down to the middle of her back. Huh. So just imagine that with like blonde hair. It's very uncomfortable.
Wait, Charlize Theron was in that movie?
Yeah, she's the bad guy.
Interesting.
She's great.
Well, if it's braided and if she's like fighting, imagine if that shit like whips you. That's a weapon.
Yeah, the beads on the end.
Yeah, dude.
She would hurt if it hits your teeth. You're like,
The guys that she's fighting. The old guard meets with Copley. It's Copley?
Yeah, that's how they pronounce it. I'm like, this is wrong.
I guess.
Because you read it as Copley.
Okay, so they meet with Copley. So they meet with him to learn more about this mission. He basically just says that they need to act quick because there's no signs of them like staying at that location that they're at for very long. Mm-hmm. And so they accept the mission at a price that Andy will decide later. And she rounds up the rest of the team, which is Joe, Nikki, and Book, who are the rest of the team. So we then jump to a scene with Niall Freeman, who's a female Marine that is on a mission to find a terrorist in Afghanistan. So this is a separate storyline. She's in a village full of women and asks them if they've seen this terrorist that they're looking for. And they act like he's not there, but they kind of hint at him being in like this building. So they go to quietly pursue him when shooting breaks loose from that terrorist. Niall shoots him back, but they need to keep him alive. So she's like putting pressure on his wounds and,
wants to die.
Yeah, and the terrorist is like, get off of me, like American scum, just let me die or whatever. And then he pulls out a knife and slices her throat, like, right open. Mm-hmm. And so the other Marine is there and tries to help her, but Niall, like, dies in her arms.
Yeah. So,
pretty brutal. Really awesome scene. Two things I want to point out. Leandro Fernandez draws guns better than any artist I've seen.
Let's see here. Oh, yeah, that's a good gun.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good one.
That's a fucking good gun, right? I looked at the gun and I was like, that's a fucking gun right there, dude.
And then like the colors work perfectly.
And just throughout this whole scene, because like the background of the page, I love in general when the background of the page isn't just white. It's just like whatever color it needs to be to fit that theme.
Uh-huh. You don't even like think about it.
Yeah, I love that shit.
It's like they bought that gun so they can get the lighting like just right, because there's no way they just figure that out.
Exactly.
Pretty kick-ass though.
So pretty awesome. And then also the scene where she gets her throat cut is pretty like perfectly colored, because at the end, like at the very last panel, it's like fading to white to like symbolize like her dying.
Mm-hmm.
Did you catch that like right here?
I didn't pick up on it that in depth, but I knew she was,
because I noticed that it was like just going to white, and I'm like, that's kind of just like the gradual like,
I think that's
representation
that,
of her dying. That's which I think is super cool.
Yeah, I see that now. I think that might have been something that I missed with like the guided view.
Oh, okay.
So,
yeah. See, this is why I can't do guided view.
I guess not.
Yeah.
But the only app, like you know that library app that I told you about that has like most comics on it.
Hoopla.
Hoopla.
Mm-hmm.
Hoopla.
Hoopla.
Sounds
like a lot of
hoopla. So that one has like a really like janky guided view.
Okay.
So I couldn't set that to show me like the whole page if I wanted. Like,
you should read on your Surface Pro. It's the perfect reading experience.
I don't know how to even start to get Hoopla on that thing.
Oh, just get it on Comixology.
I don't want to pay for it.
It was $5.
I don't want to pay for it.
We had to support Greg Rucka, who's super rich now because of the movie.
I bought issue 3 because there's like a page I wanted to screenshot, and you can't do that in this
Hoopla app,
in Hoopla, because it's like, I don't interesting know, copyrighted or whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
Okay, so then we pop back over to the old guard in South Sudan, where they get dropped off 2 clicks from the hostage building. We see them sneak in and take out the only guard outside, only to find an empty room where the children should have been. They realize it was a little bit too easy for them before they can really think. A few dozen men come out of the doors on like the side of that room, and they just shoot them down brutally. But they don't even go down at this point, and they, they heal from the runes, and Indy's like, it says our turn before a huge fight lasting multiple double page spreads goes down. And it's just total chaos just from the looks of the book. And so
there's definitely a lot of fill in the blank with like the, you know, the sound effects.
The lettering is great in this book.
It's great. Yeah. And like there's so much shooting in the book.
There's so many bangs and buttas.
Bangs and zap zap. And I don't know why they got a zap. What the hell? Zap, is that a laser?
I think it's like the in bullet going through the air. Like
tachoom.
Yep.
Like a shotgun.
But there's a bunch of that, but all of it's like overlaying each other and in the background of the page. Mm-hmm. So that just kind of get the feeling like how loud it is.
Yeah, it's kind of hectic, but it like works.
I love it a lot. So.
Oh, look at this one. She's got her axe thing, and then she cuts the dude's head off, and it cuts the sound effects in half and splits them. Do you see that on this page here?
On the bottom?
On the bottom.
I think it's just the panel that's cutting the... Oh, I see.
How sick is that?
That's pretty fucking cool.
It's pretty fucking
sweet. So, like, the motion of her blade is what makes that panel, basically. That's kind of cool. Yeah,
she's got this, like, axe thing that I guess is, like, the... I don't know, the symbol of the whole series.
Yeah, she only uses it once in this fucking book.
She uses it twice in the movie. They really hit home that thing's important.
It's a cool axe. They should have used cool it more. Axe.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it totally gives off the vibe that she's like a super old person and like would have been using an axe, so that's like her weapon of choice.
Like, this is like
but
an
every
antique.
Single other instance in the book, she's using just like a pistol or a gun.
Mm-hmm.
But in the movie, there's more axe. There's more axe action. No. There's more. I need more action.
Okay. But
it's a cool fucking axe.
There's so many fucking people. They can't. She can't just like do.
Why not?
Close range
She's immortal.
Stuff. It Walk still up hurts. Like I know. Like these people die and they get shot and they heal, but it still hurts the same.
She can still have it on her back though.
It's like getting shot with a paintball gun. You don't want to get hit with it.
But I'll hit you with an axe if I want to. But yeah, I guess that's a good point.
You'll try and avoid it as much as possible.
But anyway, there's a big fight that's going on. She pulls out her axe thing, kills the rest of the men, and after the fact, they see that they were being recorded and uploaded like somewhere else from like a little webcam that was there. So someone was there and saw the whole thing, like them getting like because they were trying to stay secret this whole time. No one really knows about these immortal people. But yeah,
that's why they always take like different jobs from different people.
Mm-hmm. And it is another interesting part of this is that if they are immortal, they didn't really have to worry about that aspect very much up until the modern day where things are able to be recorded and stuff. Because back in the day, they can just walk around and if someone knows that they're immortal, then it just becomes a myth or something like religious or whatever.
There is,
but now that they can be recorded, they're fucked.
There's a bit in the movie where... someone takes like a picture in the background and then she like goes and offers to take a picture with the same phone and like deletes the picture that has her in it and then retakes their
picture. She took a horrible picture.
Like, I didn't even pay attention to it. But
like, so yeah, the person tries to take a selfie of herself and catches Andy in the background. But when she goes to delete the picture and you see it, the most of the picture is Andy.
Yeah.
Like the bottom left corner is like the people trying to take selfie.
It's like the corner.
They took
face.
Like a dad pic. Like, when he was trying to like take a picture of
it's
himself.
It's not still. It's blurry.
Yeah. But yeah. So clearly they've gotten clever. I guess that's kind of a little difference in between the book and the movie is that Andy doesn't really know how to use a whole lot of technology in the book.
Yeah.
But she kind of does more so in the movie.
Right. And because like that's like a pretty big factor near the end. And then
in the book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they didn't even like mention it. So I think I liked that aspect because like there's
the
like
movie?
A hint no in the book there's like a hint at what's gonna happen and then it happens like immediately. It doesn't like linger.
I hated that.
Really?
I'll talk about it.
Okay.
So then jump back to Afghanistan where Niall is now completely recovered from her fatal neck wound without even a scratch, even though her Marine friend felt her die in her arms. So her Marine friend thinks the whole thing is kind of sketchy. And that's the end of the book one. So, going on to issue two, which by the way, I love the covers for the books.
Oh, they're so sick.
Between each issue, there's the I think they were the main covers for the book, but they are just like most of it, like half of it is black because it's supposed to be like the ground. And then the other half, you see like half of the person.
Yeah. It's
like one person in Old Guard.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks sick.
So, yeah, it's like this guy's got a sword, and they actually...
Who has the sword? Is that, like,
I think
Nick?
It's Nikki, but look, yeah, it's Nikki.
Nikki? Nice.
Okay.
So, yeah, issue two. One thing I do like about this book is that every issue starts with, like, some backstory.
Yeah, rather than like all of it at the beginning or something like that. It's kind of sprinkled about.
Yeah, and we learn about the different people and like their history. So there's some backstory on some previous Old Guard people. So Noriko, who was part of the Byzantine Empire and thrown overboard overboard a ship. She was another immortal person that I guess Andy worked with. I guess meant to be queen in the movie.
I think it was Quinn. But they made it seem like she died in here.
Yeah.
In the book. Because she went to the bottom and like never came back.
Right.
So that's like one of the ways that they can die, I guess.
Is drowning?
Drowning.
Okay. There's also another one that Annie hooked up with named Lycon, who fought side by side with her up until the Renaissance when he was shot. And like was actually dying. And Andy says Lycan felt relieved when it happened. And then she talks about Booker being practically a baby at 200 years old. But then there's also Nikki and Joe, the couple of the group who met during the First Crusade on opposite sides of the war. And they just attempted over and over again to kill each other until, I don't know, they were just chill with each other.
Yeah.
Nikki and Joe are total relationship goals.
Dude, that was like one of my favorite aspects of
this is book. Like they are such a sweet dynamic.
Yeah, like yes, and they care so much about each other and like they don't get like sick of each other after like a thousand
I know
years
that's the goal.
That's
dude.
Incredible.
They hated each other at first. They killed each other at
multiple
first.
Times
and to last however many hundreds of years.
What a turnaround.
And they're still just so into each other.
Yeah, definitely.
So super cool. they're awesome. Best couple in comics.
Did you notice, I don't know if you, did you ever see Aladdin?
The
new one?
Yeah.
Did you notice that Joey was played by the same dude who plays Jafar?
Okay, I figured I'd seen him before.
Uh-huh.
But no, that's cool. I didn't realize that at first.
Yeah, neither did I. I was like, I know him. And I'm like, that's Jafar, isn't it? And then I checked and yeah. just because I'm like, this guy looks, because when I was watching Aladdin, I'm like, this guy... He's so evil looking. He can only be a bad guy, you know, just because like,
oh, I see
in Aladdin. And then like in this, he's got like a beard and like a very non-threatening, like
he's very fro. Nice in this movie.
Oh yeah. Super nice.
Yeah. Like I don't expect him to be an army, like a special ops person.
Mm-hmm.
But then when he's in like all the gear, I'm like, that guy looks fucking cool.
Yeah.
So, very well cast. And so, basically the team is in an airplane hangar waiting for, their plane to be ready. And try to escape. And when they fall asleep, they all have their dream about Nile, the recent immortal discovery, but only in like very brief segments. So just enough to know that there's a new immortal person and they just have a good guess on where she is. So they know that she's a Marine and in Afghanistan. And so Annie decides to retrieve Nile while the rest go to the safe house where they're going to meet. So... in the movie, they all had this dream at the same time on a train.
Yeah,
not that big of a difference, but
still different.
Yeah,
because they were trying to, because they realized that they'd been trained, they're gonna go find Copley.
Yeah, and one of them was like really good at drawing. Was it Joey? Joe?
I think Joey. Yeah, it was like a perfect sketch. Yeah,
like an awesome, like phenomenal. I mean, I guess if you've had that like 1,000 years to practice drawing, you'd be pretty good.
Yeah, you gotta be good at like most things. Like they know like.
They know, like, basically every language.
And then, like, dead languages as well.
And, yeah, languages that people don't even know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's still people that, like, know that shit for some reason. I'm like, why?
You're never going to walk into a Costco.
How are you going to practice?
Exactly. They probably have the vocabulary of, like, a 7-year-old in that language.
And then they just, like, flex on their bios.
Yeah.
Like, I know 3 dead languages. I'm like, okay.
Fuck off. Yeah,
I'm trying to think of something that's comparable and just as useless. It's like I can reenact like the entire, you know, Duel of Fates out of Phantom Menace with my lightsaber. You know,
that's like, fucking sick, dude.
I know. To me,
that's a bad example.
They probably think that dead language is super cool to them.
Yeah, that'd be like learning how to write in like a Star Wars language.
I guess I could. Oh, that'd be cool.
That would be cool. Yeah.
That's like some people know that fucking language in like Star Trek, like legitimately
Trekkian. I made that up. It might be real, but
like maybe, but I don't think so.
I'm not a big Star Trek person. So anyway, so there's a bit that goes back to Copley, the man who set them up, and he's talking to Mr. Merrick, the man that funded Copley, $3 million to gather proof on the old guard. Merrick's not super happy that there was only video evidence instead of like physical evidence of them being immortal, like blood samples or parts of them or whatever. But, you know, we don't really get a sense of Merrick's motivation yet in this book. But Merrick is definitely a lot different in the movie than he is in this book.
Yeah, he's
Merrick's pretty fucking hot in this comic.
Yeah, dude, he's got neck tattoos and
And he's got like the
he's got like a scruffy beard.
He's got great hair.
Great blonde, like pompadour hair. He's lifting in this scene.
Yeah. And the
what's more attractive than that?
The Merrick in the movie is just this like nerdy dude that's kind of like he's very like pretentious.
He's very like Batman versus Superman Lex Luthor.
Yeah, I would like, say so. But the thing that I did like about the movie is that we know who the fuck the bad guy is.
Yeah, there's way more development on him too.
Yeah, because we just know that this dude wants them, but we don't know how or for what reason. I still really don't know what reason.
He just wanted to be immortal, I thought. He said that he's funded by like a pharmaceutical company.
And he owns like the pharmaceutical company.
But he didn't make it seem like he wanted to save the world. He made it seem like he just wanted to live forever.
Which I think is probably right. But in the movie, it was displayed as like they want to harness that one so they could be immortal, but also exploit it for profit.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay.
Yeah. And so like there's like some like board meeting or whatever, or like investors meeting where he's explaining what he wants to do and how he's trying to extend life and shit. So yeah. I'm like, I like that a lot.
Yep. And so, yeah, so we're introduced to him. Now we're in Afghanistan. Andy finds Niall and, knocks her out to take her to the old guard. When they first meet, she's like, "Who the hell are you?" And Andy's like, "Andronica the Scythian," and then knocks her out.
Yeah.
Or Andronica the Scythian, but you can call me Andy, and then knocks her ass out, which I think is a dope line.
They did that in the movie too.
Yeah, they did. Cool. And it's great. And I'm like, oh, it's cool. Cause it's like an old name, but then she just like went to Andy. But when Niall wakes up, her and Andy are somewhere in the desert at night. Andy talks about how she knows, like what's happening to her, and the dreams. And to which Niall says that she's never seen her before in her life. And Andy shoots her again. It takes a while for Niall to recover from that since she's new to like being immortal. And I guess that's a thing. It takes a while to break in, I guess.
Yeah. You gotta.
Yeah. But Andy tries to again to explain and even go as far as shooting herself just to like prove her point that Niall like isn't alone in all this. And so then they travel. There's like a travel collage where Niall asks a bunch of questions. While they travel to the safe house, and she's answering all the shit like on how that shit works. So yeah. She asks like why they're like that, and Andy's like, I have no idea.
That was something that was really dragged out. Like there's like a fight scene in the movie on this point when they're on like a plane, but this is like six panels.
Yeah, there's like one double page spread of like all the questions, and like that's everything that we need to know about it too.
Yeah.
So Niall's like this like anchor character for us that we can just like she's asking the questions for us. Uh-huh. She's asking if they aren't immortal, then when do they die? And Andy's like, no idea.
Yeah.
And then asks how old Andy is, and she said too old. Mm-hmm. That's what I liked about the book is we figure out how old she is. They never tell us in the movie.
Yeah, I figured it would come out, but yeah. All these guys are like 1,000 years old or something. And then I guess they're called relics or something. That's like what they describe themselves as.
The immortal people?
Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
That's something I picked up. And so.
Nice.
I thought that was a good name for that.
Yeah, it is. Makes them sound old, but cool at the same time.
Yeah.
And so they finally get to the safe house to find that the door was broken in. And Booker is found pretty fucked up and like dead or still dead at the moment.
Yeah, like half his head is like gone.
Totally gone.
Because like I guess if the damages are like severe enough, they won't come back. There's a couple instances where they said why you won't come back. And so I guess if the damages are that bad, then he won't.
Like, I never got that idea from reading this.
I could probably find
I didn't. Maybe I didn't pay attention enough because I was just like, oh, he's just going to be back alive just like in the movie. Because that part does happen in the movie, but they had all met each other at that point.
Yeah.
I had forgotten reading this that Niall doesn't meet Joe and Nikki until like the end.
Yeah.
Which is kind of wild.
Yeah, not a huge deal, But I think I like the fact that they came back to the safe house and they found Booker there.
Already dead?
Already dead. Rather than, like, in the movie, they just go outside for a minute and then they get kidnapped.
That's fair. But I do like the fact that Niall met Joe and Nikki and was able to, like, ask all the questions, and that, like, led opportunity for more character development for them to, like, talk about themselves. Because I feel like we don't really know Joe and Nikki that much, other than the fact that they're together and they met in, like, the Byzantine War.
Right.
But, yeah. So I just thought, I totally forgot that, like, Niall didn't know them when she finally does meet him in the book. Mm-hmm. So, issue 3, we pick up right where we left off. Booker's dead as fuck, and it doesn't look like he's coming back alive, or at least not very quick. So Andy's, like, looking at him and wondering if he actually is dead, and goes, like, and she goes into his origin. So Booker is one of the ones to march with Napoleon into Russia during, like, that harsh winter. That's, like, a thing in history that, like, Napoleon went to Russia but didn't realize how harsh the winters were. Mm. But when Booker had had enough of that winter, he tried ditching that army and got caught by his own people and hung as an example until he just, like, played dead long enough for them to leave, and then he came back alive. But what I really like that Rucka does is just playing around with history like that.
Oh, yeah.
Because he...
They can be whoever they want.
Or exactly. Or history can be whatever, like, Rucka, like, thinks is, like, a myth and wants to play with a little bit. Because he says that Napoleon actually did know about these winters and stuff, but, like, just went in anyway.
Yeah.
It wasn't, like, a mistake that they all, like, died. But I also like that, like, Andy says how Russians are, like, super angry because they dissent from Andy's people. I think that's a fun little thing, too.
You said what?
And so, like... she's talking about Russians, like, fighting Napoleon's army, and she's like, the Russians are super angry people, and I know because they come from my people.
Because
she's so old, she's, like, before Russians.
Right.
Which is, like, it's pretty dope. So that's one of the, like, little fun things that you get to play around with.
Yeah, it's not something that, like, Tarantino would do, is, like, actually change what happens in history, but just, like, little things that you wouldn't even actually know unless you're, like, a history buff.
Yeah, exactly. And so Booker's finally alive and explains what happens with all them in the safe house. They were all doing their own thing when the door all of a sudden gets blasted open and a flashbang lands on Booker's lap. And then he doesn't remember much after that because he got flashbanged. But they took Joe and Nikki and figure they must have left Booker as bait to, like, get them later when they finally do circle back around. But I really, before we go on, I do really, really, really like the panel where Booker gets flashbanged.
Oh, yeah.
Where, like, he's, like, all, like, black.
Back.
Yeah. Uh-huh. It's all white in the background, and Booker's just, like, in silhouette, but getting blasted still. It's kind of cool. but they were like, oh, they must have left Booker as bait, and they're going to come get her. So Andy goes to take out the guards and says to wait for a signal. Then she, like, cleans up with a bunch of soldiers. And they're all trying to take her out, but all that she has is a pistol and uses some neck breaking as well. Niall doesn't know what to take as the signal, but then figures out when a giant explosion happens in front of them, and they walk out to see the aftermath of Andy fighting and everything, which ends up being a pretty cool scene as well. Just her kind of going up the building, or going down the building, shooting a bunch of people.
Yeah.
Works really well.
That was something that like, I guess this was in, like, some sort of apartment building.
Yeah.
And she's going down some stairs, like, wiping people away. Mm-hmm. And then, like, in the movie, they're in, like, a church or something, abandoned church.
Yeah. Yep.
So,
and I think the action scenes in the movie were really good too.
Yeah. It's a little hard to kind of visualize what the action scenes are unless it's, like, a lot of panels are drawn for specific movements.
Exactly.
So they're able to kind of do whatever they wanted.
Yeah. I liked the music in the movie too. I don't know if you ever caught on it, but when the music was supposed to be, like, badass, it was, like, different than anything I'd really heard before.
Yeah. There's, like, a score for it. And there's also, like, some, you know, pre-recorded songs. Like,
yeah.
Now I was listening to, like, Frank Ocean at one point.
Yeah, exactly.
I was like, oh, nice.
And
then there's, like, a Khalid song at the end of the movie.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, wow, this had quite the budget.
Dude, yeah. I was watching it with captions on, and they, like, say the song and, like, the artist and everything. I'm like, oh, this is a dope song.
Like, oh, Marshmello, nice.
Yeah.
I didn't know Marshmello was even a part of that song until I watched it with captions.
Yeah, I know. Me neither. In this scene, though, in the movie, I think she does the... I think she uses the axe, but she does that really dope move where she like does a full circle with the axe and like gets a bunch of them.
Yeah, that's the best.
I like that scene. I figured that was like a thing that would happen in the book when I went to go read it, but unfortunately not.
Love that shit.
Anyway, they get away on a car that Andy took.
They just find an Audi R8 laying around.
Exactly.
It's cool.
Meanwhile, Joe and Nikki are in an armored car getting like taken away. Joe checks in on Nikki and gets the like, "What are you, gay dude?" from like that soldier.
He's like, "What is your boyfriend?"
Yeah, "What is your boyfriend?" And to which he responds with just like super poetic declaration of love between them, while also saying that that dude's life means nothing.
Yeah,
because it was the best.
He doesn't know. He'll like never know like how much love he has for that person, because he won't have a lifetime that long.
Exactly.
Which is, I was like,
this is like the best, like one of the best written like scenes of just like love in general.
Absolutely.
I've ever heard.
I was like, I was drinking a lot of beers when I was watching the movie, and it got really teared up at this point, because it was executed so well.
Yeah, and it's just like I love this man beyond measure and reason. Like just how like the reason, like how long they've known each other. Like he just clearly has thought about this so much and everything, and it's just like he's and, like this soldier is just an infant and like insane, infantile. It's crazy.
He's not my boyfriend. That man is the stars in my sky and the sun that lights my days. I'm like, that's unreal. Killer.
That's beautiful. Oh, God. It's super well acted, too.
Yeah.
Because I think if you read this and you try and visualize it being acted, it would be like too over dramatic. But the way that...
A little cheesy, but no.
The way that Jafar says it in the movie is great. Yeah,
definitely.
It works super well.
Big fan.
And then Nick is just like, you hopeless romantic. Or incurable romantic.
And then they get besos.
Yes, besos. And so they get to whatever location that they were going to. And they open the doors. And Joe and Nikki end up killing everybody that was in there. Which I thought was funny.
Yeah,
that
didn't bodies happen. Like fall out.
Yeah, that didn't happen in the movie, I don't think.
Yeah.
Oh, it did?
Like a body fell out of the car when they opened the doors.
In the movie?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. I missed that, I think. so they see Copley there. And they have some banter saying that, like, what happens when his employer doesn't find what he's looking for in their immortality and whatever. Meanwhile, Niall, Andy, and Booker are driving to their next safe house. Niall asks Booker why she shouldn't, like, contact her family. That was, like, a big thing with Niall throughout the series as well. And Booker responds with his experience of keeping in touch with his family. And then they, you know, figure out his secret. And they get mad when he can't, like, help them out when they're getting older and dying from, like, cancer and stuff.
Yeah, and they, like, don't believe that he can't help.
Yeah, exactly. And so Booker's just saying, in general, it's better for them to think that you're dead so that they can mourn and just move on.
Because she's got a great alibi for that.
Exactly. Yeah, she was a Marine and got her knife, or got her throat
knifed.
Cut. Knifed, yeah.
She got knifed the throat.
But again, like... The way that Booker said, I think is super true. Like if they're super mad at him, that's the last thing that he like remembers of his family, basically, which is just tainted.
Uh huh.
So pretty crazy. And so then they get to another safe house that Andy was in back in like the 1150s, but
yeah, it's like a cave.
Yeah. But the family thing, it's interesting perspective. Like, I don't know what I would have done in that situation. Cause like you can't, like if she wants to say last goodbye and then like fake her death again, then she would only be back for like a week and then have to go die again or whatever.
Yeah. Know? When it'd make it even harder to like say goodbye.
Exactly.
I think there's a movie or something out there where it's kind of like the same thing. Like someone's immortal and like they just keep seeing the people they love die.
Yeah.
Oh, it was, Preacher. Cause, Cassidy, like the vampire, like, mm-hmm. you know, hundreds of years old. And, he like goes through that.
Gotcha.
But he like lets himself keep getting attached.
Right.
And so that was pretty interesting.
Okay. Good stuff. So they get to whatever location, Joe and Nikki. Oh, sorry, I just said that part. Was that the end of that issue? Oh yeah, it was. Yeah. They get to the safe house. There's a bunch of old stuff in there. So issue 4 of 5 opens up with Niall looking at like a picture of her family out in the woods. Andy talks about how it's good that she has a picture that she can hang on to because no one else had that. Like, I guess Booker became immortal just like just a little bit too early before pictures were even a thing.
Like Andy can't like remember like what her mom looks like
or her sisters, like
their faces or anything.
Yeah. Like whatever she does remember, she's pretty sure it's just her imagination, which is trippy to think about even.
Yeah. There was a ton of shit like that in like my psychology class when I took one, how like you like your memories can be like kind of altered just based off like how you remember them.
Yeah.
And especially like growing up and getting older, like they kind of get fuzzy and then maybe you think things that were that didn't actually ever happen.
Yeah.
But
it's wild.
Yeah.
Imagine sure. How she's done. Andy's probably done that like a lifetime over of just,
oh yeah,
like making up just random memories that never happened
easily.
And so Andy's kind of like reflecting on how time takes everything, just not all at once, which I thought was a cool line. Cause you know, typically the line is time heals everything.
Yeah.
But Andy's like, time takes everything.
There's like this monologue thing, where it was like how you know that she starts talking about how you fall in love for the first time and like how that feels.
Yeah.
And how, you do like anything for this person and just like how it just feels different.
Mm-hmm.
And, she's like so old to where it got to the point where she can't remember what that feeling was like.
Crazy.
I just think that's a cool thing to think of and then put in there.
You know? That's one of the things I loved about this book. Like just the little things like that Rucka clearly thought of and like articulated to put in this book. It's pretty dope.
Yeah. So I don't think anything like that was in the movie.
Yeah.
Which doesn't ruin the movie, but it's just something I prefer was in the book.
Yeah. It just enhances like the character development, I think. Because Definitely. There's not like really time to reflect on that stuff in the movie, I don't think, even though it was 2 hours. We also learn about Achilles, who's a mortal man that started life as a slave and fought in like the British Rebellion.
Oh, this is a good issue.
Yeah, until he had a chance to escape, and Andy found him while hunting bounties at that time. And while Achilles was taking a shower in like a waterfall, they end up like pointing guns at each other. He's like super naked. He's got a hog, dude.
Dude, I know. That was
I was
a fucking surprise. I was like, oh,
whoa, there it is.
I thought they were going to brush over that part.
But no. He's got a full complexion there. So they're pointing at each other. And then Andy immediately goes into like how they grow old together. And they fell in love. And she said, Andy made me feel alive again. And I'm just like, I bet he did.
Achilles.
Yeah, Achilles. I bet he made you feel lots of things.
So she like stays the same and then he gets older and there's like panels of him getting like really fucking old.
Like super old.
And then
to the point where Andy like had to leave when she didn't want to, knowing that like the age difference would raise questions.
Yeah.
And so
that was really cool. That was something I was really looking forward to like in the movie, but they didn't put that in there.
No, they didn't put that in there at all.
Because like all the costume design and like set design to do these little like flashback things would probably be super expensive.
Yeah. It'd be like
they did a bit of that.
It'd be a whole other like costume department, I'm sure.
Yeah. Yeah. And so that was kind of something I really liked in this. Just all the flashbacks, tons of character development.
Yeah.
And just seeing where they came from rather than, oh, they're really old and they can't die.
Also in the movie, like Andy, the only love Andy had was with Quill or Queen or whatever Quinn. Her name was. Quinn?
Mm-hmm. Or Gwen? Gwen.
I think it's Quinn.
It was spelled with a G.
Okay, then Gwen.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's the only, like, flashback / love that Andy had, and like, in the movie at least, which I think worked really well. Like,
were they like, into each other? Was that apparent?
No, they were lovers.
Oh, I thought they were just, like, really tight friends.
No, I'm pretty sure they were, like, a couple.
Damn, okay.
And I think the way that they did it in the movie has like the same energy as like the book. Like they were part of like the Salem witch trials because they would never die. But that's a reason like that makes sense.
Sure.
Like people would think that they were a witch at that time because they can't die.
Yeah.
So I feel like that was a clever way to weave in that story.
Yeah.
But we don't ever see her in this book at all either.
Unless she was renamed.
She may have been that person in the beginning.
It was like
that
I was talking about or something. Yeah. Now that I'm looking at this again, I'm like, oh, maybe.
Yeah.
So
anyway, so Niall finds a painting of Andy and Achilles with them both together, along with a bunch of other relics in his hideout. They end up getting a lead on where Copley might be in the UAE, or the United Arab Emirates. And so they pack up and leave. I feel like they were there for probably like 20 minutes, but
yeah,
they get there and Booker's like, oh, he's probably in the UAE. And
then they leave. They like figure out that he's in like Dubai.
Yeah. And in Dubai, that's where Joe and Nick are now, meeting with Steve Merrick for the first time. And the leader is just now finding out, like, or the readers are just like finding out what his deal is. So he's like the CEO of a large pharmaceutical company trying to learn from their immortality to try and replicate.
And this is like issue 4 where we're learning the bad guy.
Like, yeah, like I'm just now learning his motivation, which is super odd to me. So I'm glad that the movie, like, I'm glad we knew who the bad guy was.
Yeah.
Like, really?
Us personally.
And what his motivations were. But Merrick goes on and, like, stabs one of them to prove that he's, like, ruthless and edgy, I guess. But he gets the reversal play from Joe and, like, gets the chokehold on him, which I thought was cool.
Yeah.
Who, you know, then gets shot in the head from a scientist, and Merrick stabs them both a bunch of times. So
yeah, it just goes like ape shit and stabs the shit out of them. That was kind of toned down in the movie, which I get.
Yeah, I get that too. Like, he wanted to see it for himself in the movie, so he stabs him in like the shoulder.
I thought, or whatever. Merrick was such an interesting looking character that I like Googled who plays him in the movie, and you would not believe my disappointment when I saw the actor. I think that
you didn't just wait to watch the movie.
I couldn't wait. I have such a short attention span like that. And that's, I just so had funny. To know.
And you're like, this guy?
I was like, okay. I think that dude was in like Harry Potter.
Maybe.
I think he was like one of the dorky kids that were like a part of like Draco Malfoy's like clique.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'd never seen him before, I don't think. Niall, Andy, and Booker make it to the office of Copley. Andy walks up and knocks out the guard at the front desk employee, making the alarm go off. But Niall then turns it off before they go to the elevator. So Niall lets Andy know that she's like a little suspicious of Booker, acting like, because he acted like he was connected to the internet in that cave that they were in and shit. But Booker walks up right after and they go to Copley's office room, up the elevator and stuff. They kick down the door and confront Copley when Copley orders Booker to shoot Andy and Niall, claiming that, and he was claiming that all he's trying to do is just end it. So there's a double cross.
I know.
That happened.
Twist.
And I feel like when there's a hint that Booker might be bad, literally 2 pages before the double cross, like just give us, like, have it be a surprise, you know, or give us hints at it throughout the book. I don't feel like he can do it just before he double crosses us.
Well, if you have hints throughout the book, then it makes it too obvious.
Right. And but then it's obvious.
If you're reading at a certain pace, it happens immediately. You know what I mean? And so like if you read it, you're like, huh. I'm like, oh, I guess they're gonna be quiet because he's on the elevator with them now. And then right then and there, double cross.
But I don't feel like that's as shocking as if she either didn't bring it up at all and didn't notice anything, or maybe make like a snide remark like when he's connected to the internet, or like acting that he's connected to the internet in this cave because Andy doesn't know technology.
Yeah.
Like maybe make a remark like, oh, you getting Wi-Fi down here? And well, then Booker would be like,
in the movie, he said that he had satellite to get connection or whatever.
Right. So,
like,
I guess.
Okay. Like she wasn't as, you know,
I think there was ways to hint at it. And maybe there was that I missed, but I wasn't a big fan of it being like, he might be bad.
And well, in then the movie, ends up it, was being like, bad. It was like a complete turnaround.
Yeah.
So
it was a complete double cross.
I think just because I knew.
And it, about I feel like it worked better in the movie. It's like, know. Oh, shit, he's a bad guy.
I don't think I like the absolute abrupt, like, oh, double cross. Because, like, I don't know. It almost seems a little cliche. But I thought the delivery of this made it like a little different.
Yeah, maybe.
Because, like, have you ever read or watched The Losers?
No.
Okay, so there's a double cross in that, and it's very abrupt, and you're like, there's no way. And then there's just, like, a twist. And I, like, watched the movie, and I just, like, felt nothing. I'm like, okay, Double Cross. It didn't feel like that, like, surprising. I guess maybe because it happens often in movies or stories. But maybe, like,
just weren't invested. But does this, with this suspicion, two pages before, make you feel something?
Because, no, when I saw the hint, I was like, maybe it was a double cross. But, like, it doesn't let your mind, like, kind of figure it out or, like, think back to earlier pages because it just happens very soon.
I wonder if we have different opinions because we watched or we did the other thing. I don't know how to explain it. Like, I watched the movie first. You did the book first.
Okay, that might have helped. Because when I watched the movie, I'm like, yeah, that was supposed to happen. Because I knew it was happening.
When I watched the movie, I'm like, oh, fuck. This person that she's literally known for, like, 200 years just double-crossed her.
Okay. You know, we should always do this way.
We should, honestly.
I call movie first next time.
When did you watch the movie?
Last night.
Makes sense. So, yeah.
Okay, that adds another level.
Yeah, that adds an element for sure.
The things we go through to give you guys good content.
The interesting perspectives. Actually, I do want to point out the establishing shot of Dubai. I like that double page spread where you can, like, literally see the curvature of, like, the earth because it's so, like, far away. Super cool. Good coloring, too. Anyway, issue 5. So Booker's a bad guy. Andy is shot a couple times. And Copley says that they're going to be delivered to his employer, which is Merrick. Andy reveals that she's 6,730 years old or so.
6,000?
6,730 years old.
Holy shit. I thought it was like 3.
3 years old?
3,000.
Oh, no. No, she's super old. And then, like, her and Niall make a break for it for one of the guns. They shoot Booker in the process, and they end up sparing Copley for whatever reason while they jump out of the window of a skyscraper. There's a little hesitation before they do that, and Andy's like, oh, I've done worse. And then they fall so long that they have, like, a little, like, quick conversation before hitting the ground.
Yeah, he's and, like, you read any good books lately?
And she's like,
I hate you.
She's like, you know your fall is too long when you have time to think about how long your fall is.
Yeah.
And so they hit the ground, and when they recover, they're all, like, the coloring changes, and they're all, like, super red and, like, super fucked up. Like, Niall's eye is out and everything's broken and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Which looked great in the movie, too.
Yeah.
But the way that it happened in the movie is that she tackles Merrick out of the thing. Which I think is cooler.
Yeah, I like that.
That's a bigger ending, I think.
Because people falling, like, from stuff can look really cheap sometimes, but that looked pretty good.
It looks very fluid. Mm-hmm. It was, like, one shot. It wasn't, like, a bunch.
It looked like real gravity.
Yeah. And so, I like that. Oh, I like that Andy lied at the end about having, like, done worse before. She's never jumped out of a skyscraper before because skyscrapers aren't a thing for that long for her.
Right.
So I thought that was pretty funny. And just love the coloring in that scene.
Anyway, yeah, the fact that they're, like, 100% red.
Yeah, all red. And, like, I don't think it was meant to display that they were super bloody. I just think it was meant to show, like, the pain, I guess, or, like, how brutal that fall was.
Well, like, it's fucking, like, Call of Duty, or you're like,
in a way,
Tony, like, Hawk's pro skater when you, like, fall, like, your screen gets all red.
Yeah, I think, well, I mean, you could see, like, they're colored differently based off, like, because, like, there's blood on her hand and, like, the rest of her hand is red, so, like, they're colored red to,
okay,
display that, like, emotion.
I think it's up to the reader.
I think I'm right. Anyway, there's, like, one of the scientists helping Merrick is telling him about how unsuccessful he's been in figuring out the immortality of Joe and Nikki. Merrick obviously gets super mad and goes to the two of them himself, getting ready to, like, stab them a bunch again for whatever reason. I don't know what that's going to do. And then he ends up hearing about Niall, Andy, and Booker, like, escaping from Copley's. And so we're back with the team. Andy and Booker are fighting. Wait.
I like the part with, like, the scientist where he's just saying, like, they're just men. Like, he can't find, like, anything about them.
Yeah, I like that, too.
Yeah, it was just a cool thing.
Like, to the scientist testing all these things, he literally can't find anything different.
He's like, maybe it's something, like, beyond science.
He's like, they're just ordinary men. And he's like, they've lived for hundreds of years. They're not ordinary. But yeah. I like that interaction. Oh, yeah. So Niall, Andy, and Booker left to go kind of like recoup or whatever. But obviously there's still some bad blood between Booker and Andy. So they like are arguing and they're like shooting at each other in the middle of the desert, which I think is like funny. That's like their version of like a slap fight. It's just like, yeah, it's just like shooting at each other. until Niall comes in and like takes an Uzi and shoots at them. Again, really well drawn gun, in my opinion.
I mean, it's an like inanimate object. That's something that you can kind of just Google. And I'm not saying they traced it or anything.
But at the angle that it's at and like everything, it just works super well. Because you could see her and both Andy and Booker in the shot.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's super, super good.
Yeah. I guess like with my experience with drawing, like that's something that is always the same. And faces are like never the same, you know?
Right.
So that can be kind of different.
But there's so many like shapes and like, do you have to get the design like exactly right with the gun for it to like look good? I feel like,
yeah, it'd have to be definitely exact for it to work.
Mm-hmm. So Niall takes the Uzi or whatever that is and shoots him to shut up. But Booker says that him and Andy want the same thing, and which is basically that life means nothing if it ain't worth living, which I thought was a cool line. And if Cooley can help figure out their immortality, then if Copley can help figure out their immortality, then maybe he can figure out a way to make it stop.
Right. It's
Booker's motivation.
Because
he just wants to die. Andy says that she lives for the team right now. Like, that's her motivation to live. And so they go to...
To that building.
The same building. Is that what it...
Yeah, I imagine.
So Copley's office is just probably like a couple levels lower than Merrick's. Is that the idea?
I don't know. They go to Copley's office?
That's where they confront Copley and they jump out of the...
They said something about it being 34 stories up.
Yeah, that's right. I think that's Copley's office. Where were they
maybe,
just now?
Maybe the whole thing is just like one level. Where they went? They just went to some desert.
It might
somewhere.
Be one level, yeah. I don't know. No. Where they went with the building before. Where Booker double crosses them.
That was like the office building or whatever.
Okay. So is Merrick on like a different level?
I think they're on the same level, different room.
Maybe. I feel like Merrick would have the top room.
We're really analyzing the architecture of this place a little too much.
I'm trying to figure out, because they go back to the same building, and if Merrick's there and Joe and Nikki were there, why would they jump out?
Because they
to
were
to escape, I guess.
Because Copley was saying that like 30 dudes were coming, and so they just jumped out.
All right. That's fair.
That's what I got from it. I could be wrong, but
yeah.
There's something I wanted to remember.
Okay.
It was like words of wisdom from Niall. Every day you waste is one you don't get back.
Oh yeah.
I was like, damn.
That's good.
Yes.
Oh, dude, I feel that. So Merrick's in his Dubai building, maybe the same one, but not super clear.
It's clear in the movie because they're in like a house when the double crossing happens. Like that's in the middle of the woods.
Yeah, that's a different place. They go to Copley's house.
You think so?
Yeah, that's where all of his like newspaper clippings on the wall and shit were.
Oh, okay. I thought he just brought that in.
Was he just going to put it in his car? Like
maybe.
And set it up all nice?
Maybe he had it in a suitcase? I don't know. It's a dumb thought. But that's what I assume.
I'm pretty sure it's Copley's house.
Or maybe it's his own office?
Could be an office house if you want it to be.
Yeah, okay.
Because they were definitely in a house.
You're a much more reasonable thinker than I am.
Oh, he wants to put all that stuff in his car and reset it. No, I think he unpacked everything and then put it up somewhere else in the exact same configuration that he had it.
Okay, I get it. I'm sounding dumber and dumber when we talk about it.
So yeah, Merrick's in the city, in the building in Dubai, watching out for him on like the cameras and stuff. But we see the team walk in like hijabs to cover their identity. Merrick also hears an explosion go off.
What'd you call them?
What?
What'd you call them? Like the thing that
wrapped hijabs?
Is that what they are?
Hijabs, yeah. The thing that like the face wrap.
Oh, okay.
That Muslims like use.
Okay.
Yep. So they have hijabs on to blend in and also cover their identity, which I think is pretty genius.
Pretty good, yeah.
And an explosion distracts Merrick, but also causes a bunch of chaos at the bottom floor and gives them enough time to sneak by to the elevators in the confusion. When they get up to the top, they're met by soldiers, like a bunch of soldiers trying to protect Merrick, and they fight him a bunch. There's a bunch of butta lettering.
Copley bounces.
Yep, he goes to hide somewhere. Nick and Joe are in the same like science room strapped down like they have been, but they're talking to or they're talking about their trip in Malta. Mm-hmm. And they're like, remember that trip? And Joe's like, oh, that trip.
He's like, which time? He's like, and ooh, then just gives him a look. That one. Ooh, that one.
Yeah. I can't help but wonder what they did. But
what happened in Malta? Spinoff series.
Oh, yeah. The Malta story. A one shot. I'd read that. But they end up convincing the scientist dude to let them go. Because they're like, that's Andy down there. She's going to make your life living hell. And you're going to die super slowly. But if you let us go, like, we'll try and convince her. And so the scientist unstraps them, and then Joe cracks his neck.
Yeah.
Which is dope.
That was a fun panel, because they just, like, twisted his head, like, upside down, basically. Yeah,
it was awesome. And so then, like, right at that time, Andy and, like, the rest of the team are there, and they're like, oh, what's up? And now Niall's meeting them for the first time.
Yeah.
At this point, and she's like, yeah.
Because they, like, knew each other from, like, the dreams, but never, like, met in person.
Exactly. So yeah, I felt like it was I think the reason that they had Niall in the movie meet Joe and Nikki before, so that they could feel more like a team at the end, maybe.
Yeah.
Because if they had just met at this point, which is like the last 30 minutes of the movie, it would just feel like a bunch of people running around and shooting, I guess.
Yeah.
It feels much of as a team.
Then they just now figure out who's on their team.
Yeah. Also a huge thing in the movie at this point.
We can talk about all the differences at the end if you want.
No, but this is a big one.
Okay.
Andy is not immortal anymore at this point.
Yeah. So I like that and I don't like it.
Okay.
I don't like it because it didn't happen in the book, right?
Sure.
So there's like a stab wound. She goes to like a corner store and gets band-aids and shit.
Yeah, and patches herself up.
Yeah. And then she gets shot, went by Booker, but it doesn't heal.
And that's how Booker and Copley find out that she's not immortal anymore. And she has no idea why. No one knows why.
And so, yeah, what I like about that is that it raises the stakes.
Exactly.
At this point in the book, there's like 4 pages left because it's like, it just wraps up really quickly.
And they're like, yeah, they fight them.
And then she goes in the movie into like fight all these guys. Like she goes in first. That's just some theme that comes up out of nowhere. And yeah. Then because she's like the leader, like the boss. But then like
the rest of the team is like taking bullets for her and
shit. She doesn't put on like any of the armor of the guys that she's killing. She's mm-hmm. like, if it's my time, it's my time. And so I liked that because if it's in a movie, they're all immortal and they're free now.
It's and like fighting. Then it's like,
great. You don't even need to watch it in the movie.
Yeah, we won.
Yeah. And so,
but at this point, I genuinely didn't know if Andy was going to die. And you didn't either.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I was like, dope. Watch her die at the end of this. And that's going to suck.
Yeah. I was like, I hope it's a good death, but she doesn't end up dying, which is cool.
Right.
But anyway, yeah, I thought that was interesting that there's not even a hint of her potentially dying in this book.
All right, we're going to say this once. This is a full spoiler episode.
Yes.
For the book and the movie.
If you've gotten to this point, there are going to be spoilers, just so you know.
A couple slipped out. I don't know if you heard those.
Yeah, sometimes they sneak by. I don't know if you... yeah.
This is a sick page.
The, like, sideways splash page.
Yeah, where there's, awesome. Like, it's all bright because guns and...
Yeah, they're all colors. Back together. They're all back a team, and they're causing a ruckus.
Then they shoot everybody. One guy like grapples into the window or whatever.
Nikki grapples in behind the rest of the guards, I guess.
Pretty cool.
That are staring at the door, expecting them to go in that way, but they go in through the window, and Niall and Andy go through that door and pinch them.
And then just so much shooting.
Yep. And then they kill all of them, and they're like, "Where's Merrick? He might be hiding in the bathroom." And so they check the bathroom, and he's there, and they all shoot him. That's all. That's all that really happens. It's one page where they find Merrick and shoot him.
Yeah.
Which is dope. Now they're back in Malta, the place that Nick and Joe were talking about, and they wanted to go back. The gang is deciding what to do with Booker because he did still double cross, and, you know, trying to figure out what his punishment will be for his betrayal. Niall's talking to Booker a little bit while the team discusses, and Booker says that she's going to fit right in. Being how tech savvy she is and everything. My keys just fell. I don't know if you can hear that. And so then Andy comes up and says that he'll have to be alone and like on his own for 100 years. And in 100 years, they're going to meet back in Malta. And so then they all part ways. And that's the end of the book.
Yeah, I like that.
I like that too.
I'm like, that's a good punishment because it's going to suck.
Like something was taken away as a result. you know, like there were consequences in this book.
Yeah,
it didn't just go on like life is normal, but with an extra character.
Yeah, he's talking about that. He was talking to Niall. He's like, "What are they gonna do? Kill me?"
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
Like,
yeah,
that's a good one.
I love that joke. Even in the movie, when Joe and Nikki were both like strapped in the armored car, and he's like trying to help Nikki up. The guy's like, "Quiet!" He's like, "What are you gonna do? Shoot me?"
Yeah,
and he's like, "Well, yeah, that's a good point."
Like the last page is like the old guard will return.
Yes.
So that's just kind of hinting at
the next trade, I guess.
The next trade, yeah.
If it's only one more trade, I might like read it because this was super great for me.
Yeah. So
the art of the book enhances just the whole story so much. Like I think
definitely
a lot of this book is the art and the coloring and just the style of it. You know.
Yeah.
Paired with Greg Rucka is a good writer, and so a lot of the stuff that he did just really enhances this for me, but also keeping it simple and easy to follow.
Right.
So overall, good shit.
Good shit.
Enjoyable on both platforms, I would say.
I agree, but I don't know.
It's not as stylistic in the movie.
I don't think the movie works as much without the book. You know what I mean? Did you finish watching that movie and that was a good movie?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And I finished watching the book and I was like, I'm glad I watched the movie before because I would have had to really pay attention to figure out who these characters were.
Yeah.
Did you feel that? Did you have to try really hard to remember Joe, Nikki, and Booker?
I didn't really, Booker's in it a lot. I didn't really pick up on the other names until issue 3.
Yeah.
Joe and Nikki, when they explain them a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that makes sense. But I don't think it ruined the book or anything for me.
Exactly.
So for our next segment, Back Matter Matters.
Back Matter Matters.
We got
there's some dope covers from Leandro.
Dude, did you see this painting thing?
Unfucking believable.
By Leandro as well?
Yeah. That's him doing everything. Can you imagine realism that?
Chops?
That's art.
Yeah.
All of this is art, but that's
his bodies in the snow, and then I don't know, I think that's Nikki or something.
I think it is
walking through the snow.
Mm-hmm.
That's kick ass. That's because it doesn't seem the art looks like this because that's what he can do. That's mm-hmm. just what they wanted.
Yeah, exactly, know? Yep. Super dope. We got second and third printings of Old Guard from Leandro as well, which are all super dope. But again, they're highlighting this axe that she only uses once.
Yeah.
The axe looks really cool, and it's a good symbol for the Old Guard, mm-hmm. but she should have used it more. That's all I'm saying.
I like this double page spread. It's all the cover art put together.
Exactly.
That's pretty cool.
All that shit looks covers, really good.
The axe just
I like the itself. Axe propped up against the wall.
Yeah,
that sick. One's cool
with a lot of white. And then the sword.
I love covers that have a bright background. Yeah. like super bright though.
Like lets the
like this one the
subject matter like the, really pop.
Yeah, like this one has a sword hanging from a tree branch, but the background's bright pink,
mm-hmm.
and I think it works really good. Then we have some guest artists come in. So we've got Nicola Scott doing issue 2, one of Andy for Women's History Month.
It's a realistic pencil drawing, which is pretty neat.
Yeah.
Ooh,
yeah.
Dude, Chris Samney.
Chris motherfucking Samney. Matt Wilson. Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
What a fuck. I saw that and I was like, oh. That's it's like dope. A Spawn cover, I guess.
Yeah, I guess it's a Spawn reference.
Barely. There's something. A Spawn belt buckle. But
that's dope, though.
Fucking unreal.
I fuck with it.
And then there's a Pride variant cover by Michael Lark for issue 5.
Oh, okay.
That's
a pretty cool one.
Yeah, super cool.
Do you know Michael Lark?
I've heard his name around. I couldn't tell you what books I've read that he's been on.
I like this. It looks really good. I'd love to read a book like this.
Yeah, exactly.
So then the back of the book.
Yeah, it was just the variants. I would like to know more about the artist Leandro Fernandez in the character bios. I'd like to know what else he's done. I think they have it in the back of the book,
or you can just Google his name.
He's done The Discipline, he's done some Deadpool, and he did Punisher Max. Oh, that makes sense.
Cool.
So yeah, super great.
So I think the biggest difference was that character Quinn
Yeah,
or Gwen that they brought up, which is I guess, Andy's lover or whatever.
Yeah. And the only one that they focused on.
She was basically exiled by being put in this like coffin, like a steel coffin, and then thrown into the water.
Mm-hmm. To be drowned.
And Niall has like a nightmare about her because she just drowns and then comes back to life. And I guess she's still there because they were never able to find her body.
Mm-hmm. Which is dark.
Which is dark
super
as fuck.
Cool.
So good.
Yeah, that's...
I love that. I was like, this isn't right, but I love it.
Yeah.
And
like, you see her drown and die and then come back alive and, like, drown again.
Oh, so...
And just... it
freaky.
And that happens over the course of, like, I don't know, 30 seconds. But imagine, like, doing that again and again and again.
But she's there for, like, 200 years.
Does she say how long she was in there?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was like 200 years, and insane. They still don't know where she's at. Like, just be like, great. I definitely needed a new nightmare. That's fantastic.
Yeah, honestly, just drowning over and over again because you're immortal. But yeah. She gets out somehow, and
because like 6 months later, after they ditch Booker, he goes back to like his place in Paris.
Yeah,
and I guess she's just there. She's like, "What up, Booker?
You're gonna help me." So yeah,
is she a So that sets up for a sequel,
yes.
For a movie.
Yes.
But is that the second trade?
I don't know. I didn't read the second trade.
Because
I can't imagine.
Because they call her...
Unless she's actually a comic character, but wasn't touched on in this book, but is touched on later.
Yeah, because like
she's 6,000 years old. She's got to have a couple more loves than the two that they mentioned.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, so, you know, there'll be books where they won't hint at anyone in the first couple trades, but they'll pretend like they're there always, or they have history.
Yeah, they do a Palpatine.
Yeah, and so that could work. I'd be really interested in watching the movie. I don't know if I'm, like 100% going to read the second trade.
Right.
I did enjoy it, but I guess, like, just putting time for other things.
Yeah.
Or other books. Because I get it, you know?
Yeah.
And it's good. I don't know if I'd like go scream at somebody because they haven't read it. Be like, oh yeah, okay.
I think this is definitely something I'd recommend to somebody.
It's definitely an easy concept to grasp.
Yeah, easy concept, still super interesting. But I think someone that's like, I just want something that like feels different than like a superhero book,
mm-hmm.
but still is like actiony. I think this would be a good way to fulfill that. You know,
for sure. Yeah,
because like, there's like this power isn't, you know, new to anybody, I don't think. Like, everybody's thought uh-huh. about being immortal or whatever, and maybe thought about the idea of like an immortal soldier.
Yeah.
So I think this is a good one too. So yeah, and then should we move on to our next segment?
Do we want to create a new segment, like all the differences or something like that? Because I look at all these notes.
I'm not gonna write all the differences, but you can tell me all the differences and I'll go yuck.
Oh, yeah, I'll skim through them because we mentioned a lot of them.
Okay.
The healing factor was dope. Like, watching the
effects. So good in the movie,
right?
It
looks really good. It's like, the whole, good, like, Wolverine, like, spit out the bullet thing.
It looks better than in any Wolverine movie I've seen.
Because now, Andy breaks Niall's arm, and the way it just goes, and it snaps out of her skin, and the way it just goes back in and
disgusting.
Heals, fucking gross, but looks incredible.
When she jumps out of the building, and, like, her hand's all fucked up, it's hard to look at with her, like...
Oh, like her back neck and like her shoulders going back, yeah, into
and
place.
And her hand literally like so like fucked up in a way. I'm like, oh, that wouldn't be ideal for your hand.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, the healing factor is great.
For sure.
Better than any movie.
Did they ever... I can't remember if they touched on it in the book. Yeah, no, man, they did. this is a stupid one, but... Niall was looking at like a picture, you know, it was like a printed picture, like a Polaroid or whatever.
Yeah.
And then in the movie, it's on her phone.
No, I thought, it's her background, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's pretty funny.
They like the whole like security guard scene wasn't there. They like just like had guns before going to Merrick.
Yeah.
Then Niall leaves. Because she doesn't think she can go through with it when they go, and then she realizes that she doesn't have any bullets, and then goes back, which they don't really touch on again.
No, Niall leaves because she is going to go live with her family.
Yeah. And so, but then when she goes to like ditch the car, there's no bullets like in her gun. She's like, oh shit, Annie doesn't have any bullets. And then she goes back. And then after the betrayal, they don't jump out of the building. They go to the lab, and they're all locked up in the lab.
Exactly.
Yep. And then Niall comes to save the day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's Niall had more of a story arc, I think, in the movie than she did in the book.
She's arguably like a main character.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
The main character.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, I didn't catch that until right now. But yeah, Niall is definitely more of a prominent character. Because in this, it's more of just like Andy taking Niall around. And Niall's there to act as us, almost.
Yeah, because Niall goes to that house thing and finds Copley. And then Copley takes her to the office building and lets her in. And then Copley's like this like good guy.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the movie.
Yeah, Copley's a good guy. Kind of.
Copley like ends up being the way that they find new work. And then he, since he's a part of the CIA, he's able to like erase their history, basically, from any record.
Yeah, I like Copley a lot better in the movie.
Absolutely.
More of his motivation was to be like, he's kind of like obsessed with them in like an admirable kind of way. He's like looking things up and connecting things that Andy's done and things. I think the idea was that things that she's done had like a, almost like a butterfly effect of like positivity later on.
Yeah.
Like generations down from the people that they saved.
She saved someone who ended up creating like a vaccine or something.
Exactly.
And so,
yeah. And you kind of just get more of an idea for why he was like obsessed with them in the first place too.
Yeah, because like his wife dies of like ALS.
Mm-hmm.
Which I thought was like interesting because I feel like that disease isn't represented very much in like popular culture.
Exactly.
So that was cool. And then it makes sense because he actually said something. He's like, my wife couldn't talk like
at the
before
end.
She died. I'm like, ah!
Yeah.
And then all right, that's all I had.
Yep.
But there's a, like that stuff like bothers me sometimes when I just comparing like the two platforms or mediums. Like I used to read Outcast a lot, and then a show came out for it like almost immediately.
Yeah,
because the idea was sold to TV before the book started coming out.
Yep.
So they're almost coming out like side by side, and there's so many changes that since like the art was so realistic, I couldn't decipher in my memories what happened in the show and what happened in the book.
That's wild.
And so that was a pain in the dick. just because it was like, I couldn't remember. And it was super annoying. But
yeah,
this was like a little bit easier because like it's like a simplistic style, but still very detailed.
Yeah.
And it was easier to separate because it did it right after another.
Exactly.
But yeah, that's all I had. So
yeah, I think in general, the movie did really well with like adding some of the stuff. But I think in the book, you get more of an idea of like what each character is about, really, because
I like that. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think in general, I enjoyed the book a little bit more, but for different reasons. I think the
I like them equally.
Yeah,
but for different reasons.
I still like them like very highly. I just think in general, like the experience I got out of reading the book and just Leandro's art and Daniela Miwa's like art.
Yeah.
It like just part of it was just interesting to look at,
and that's just something you can't like translate to TV
unless it just looks like,
unless it's like a cartoon.
Yeah, exactly. So,
well, I don't know, the Watchmen movie, they did really well considering on like capturing some of those like color palettes.
Yeah, but that the Watchmen book is like dark.
Yeah,
and so it's easy to make a movie dark, but I think it's a lot harder to make a movie like stylistically colored like this one was.
Right.
But I still like them both. So.
But yeah.
Good shit.
So
next segment?
Pull list.
The pull list.
Shove it in your box.
Yeah, what'd you shove in your box?
So there's that Invincible thing. There's the 30th. So the penultimate issue for Sex Criminals.
Oh, nice.
And then Strange Adventures.
Yep.
Haven't even read the second issue, so I'm kind of a fake fan.
Oh, dude.
I know it's great. I just like haven't made the time.
It is great. Issue 3 was interesting because I feel like not a whole lot happened.
Okay.
But I'm still super excited about it.
But like in a good way?
Kind of. Like it was still more just like context, I think, of what everybody else thinks about the situation that's going on.
Okay.
Kind of.
That seems important.
Doc's art in here in the book is so good. I haven't read issue 4 yet, but
that dude's flawless.
Exactly. Yeah, it's his stuff is flawless. Like I look at it, I'm like, there's not one thing that I don't think is phenomenal in each panel.
Yeah, you're like, look at these feet, dude. So like, good.
look at how little lines there are in his abs, but his abs still look so good.
Definitely.
So, good book.
And then I also got the next issue of Firepower.
Oh, did you read the book I gave you?
Oh, yeah, Hedra.
Unbelievable, right?
Oh, so sick.
Dude.
That was right up my alley.
That was right up mine, too. That was, like, exactly the kind of book that I wanted to read at that point.
It's, like such insane, like, sci-fi, and then just told without being explained.
You know so much about what happened. Uh-huh. Without there being any words.
Yeah, you can almost... I feel like that might stick with me, like, more than a book with words would.
Yeah.
You know, just because I remember what happens, and because they're shown to me, and you piece it together through context.
Yeah, exactly. And you're thinking about, like, what's going on a little bit more, mm-hmm. but because of the way that's told. But do you see what I meant, like, with them guiding your eyes? Like, sometimes you're going, like, up and down a page... and left to right rather than left and right and up to down. Like the way that everything was structured in that book was just unlike anything I've ever seen. And it's got major David Aja vibes.
Dude, my favorite part was the like geometry in this book.
Yeah.
Like these fucking planets and shit and how like perfect like the circles are.
Yep. And you see the path of like the rocket ships going through and everything.
Right. But,
yeah, there's parts where you are literally like, you're not reading it left to right, up to down. You're like going down and then to the right a little bit and then up sometimes.
Yeah,
and like it's the not way like, that it guides you.
It's not like typical panel structure.
Yeah. And yeah. I think there will be some sort of sequel because at the end, there's like a little blurb about it at the end. And then you see like the little monkey thing like walk into the ship.
Oh.
And then ooh. At the very back of the page, you see that ship go off again.
Okay. I feel like arguably that might take just as long to like come this, up with as this took, something you write.
This took so much longer than a normal book, I feel like.
Absolutely. Because like there's tons of details that
were but there's so much like design that goes into it. Like
you when just, you're how do you like even start to write that?
How do you even start to think like what shapes to just kind of put in the background and what they mean and like what shape like why would there be a cube here rather than like this hexacube thing here?
Yeah, it's like like writing the concept for it, be like, oh, astronaut runs into like, you know, a robot,
a big robot man that grows.
Yeah. And then like, then you just get to the artwork and then I guess it could kind of be like the pitch the of Marvel this... method. You remember that?
Yeah.
How like the artist drew everything.
That'd be cool to see this Marvel method.
Yeah. So you like draw all the pages and then the words are put in later by the writer, which mm-hmm. sounds insane to me, but that's probably what happened.
Apparently there's,
as she got further, she probably developed the story more.
Yeah. Yeah. An unreal book. I think it's
incredible. Thanks for showing me that. That's like, that was incredible.
Yeah. I read this and I was like, this would be Daniel's shit for sure.
Dude, silent comics are so underused and it makes me so mad.
Yeah.
Just
silent books, I feel like whenever I do, there's a really good X-Men one that just came out not so long ago.
Yeah.
And it was Jean Grey and Emma Frost in the mind of like a X character that was like unconscious, and they have to like break it was Storm. They were in Storm's like conscience. No. Her mind. Not her conscience. But they were like, they had to go through this like journey in her minds to like break her out of it. But all the stuff was like super high concept and it was just completely silent. So it was super dope.
That sounds pretty cool.
Yeah.
Sorry. I want to get my own copy. And so I need to remember how to spell it.
Hedra. It's like Hydra, but with a he,
I was like Hedra.
Hedra.
Hedra's cool.
Yeah. I think the artist is on Twitter. Cause I think I remember seeing it like just before I went to the shop and I was like, ooh, I'm going to pick that up.
Jesse Lonergan.
Yeah. Check him or her out. But yeah, good book.
Yeah. Like, and I think there should be more for this because I don't know. I don't know if it has like a huge place, and I don't know if maybe they don't sell really well or something.
I hope it did well.
I hope it did great.
Yeah. I read that war book that I talked about last week.
Fucking Ash sold out of it.
That sucks.
So apparently it did pretty well.
Yeah.
He responded really fast.
Oh, really?
Because I was as you were talking, I was like messaging him, like, do you have a copy of this? He's like, oh, we sold out. I'm like, ah.
You message him on the pod?
Yeah.
Like live, during? Okay, nice.
Live it's wow. Pertinent to comics.
That's cool. Good for, yeah, he's a good guy. Yeah, I read that war book that I was talking to you about that also looked super interesting from Image last time.
What was it called?
It's like The Lost Boys or no.
The Lost Soldier or Last Soldier?
Something like that.
Yeah.
Book was super boring.
Ah.
I didn't like it very much.
Bummer.
It was the first book that I noticed that the lettering bothered me because a lot of the dialogue was super heavy and in one bubble. But like,
I hate that.
Cause typically like the cool thing about lettering is that they break it up in ways that they feel like the pacing of the conversation will go.
Uh huh.
But in this one, it's just one big block of text basically.
You might as well read a fucking book.
Exactly. And
you could just split that up by multiple bubbles.
Yeah.
But he doesn't.
Yeah. And so
who wrote that?
I don't know. It was like Alex Tote or something.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. No one recognizable, but the art was good. And it jumped back and forth between styles because I think the idea was like that they were these like old war people that were thinking about the war time. I can't remember where the book was going even because I was just kind of bored. Flashbacks were a different art style than
that's important.
Yeah, so I thought that was cool.
But I remember a book that wasn't very good. But when they went back in time, like the panels were like curved in the corners rather than being like squares.
Right.
And I thought that worked really well.
Just gives you like a little hint that it's different.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Unfortunately with Image stuff, you can't just pick up a number one and be happy with it. But
I was happy with Hedra.
Yeah. This is like, you know, one of the hidden gems. You know?
Yeah. I normally try and pick up a number one if I'm not picking up much that week.
Sure.
And at least try it. But I'm always pretty critical about it if I'm going to keep moving. Because
yeah.
If I pick up a bunch of number ones randomly, then I'm starting a whole bunch of new series. So I always have to be pretty critical. Be like, that was insane.
I used to pick up like every number one.
Yeah.
And like that was Image. And it didn't work out for me.
Yep.
And so.
Yeah. Then you just start getting too much. So it's hard to be selective. Especially when you're like are kind of with it, but then I think you know when you're like not excited to read the book and you're like, well, I guess I gotta pick that up, you know?
Yeah, you have to be like excited, be like, what the fuck happens next?
Yeah.
And you like remember to get it again.
Yeah. I'm kind of at that point with Batman. Like I can't really remember what happened. I just know the general idea. And I picked up Batman this week. I haven't read the last issue, but I'm sticking with it up to 100 just because Jorge Jimenez is the artist up until issue 100.
Okay.
And so I'm going to see if I'm still interested in it like by then. But if not, I'm just going to cut it off.
That's sick that he's on such a big book like that.
I know. He totally deserves it.
Because he was on Justice League before that?
Yes, with Scott and Snyder. And
Super Sons before that, I think.
We should read Super Sons. It's supposed to be really good. But yeah,
Super Sons. Didn't we read the first trade or so?
Huh?
Didn't we read the first couple of trades?
Did we?
Not on the pod, but like both of us.
I think we... I want to say I have it, like at least the first couple issues.
I think I hopped off at like 12 or something.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because it was really good. It was super fun.
I don't think I went that far, but yeah, okay. I think I'm pretty sure I've gotten a couple pages in.
I hope it's not one of those cases because like I think it came out when we were living together to where like one of us has all the issues and the other doesn't. Just because like I would not buy something that you bought already. You
know exactly. What I mean? Yeah.
Because it's just in the same house. But
yeah.
Anyway.
So yeah.
Speaking of other books, wait, do you have another segment?
No.
What are we reading next?
Oh, what are we reading next? So, next book is going to be a DC book, and I have nothing in mind.
I have thoughts.
Oh, okay. Finally.
So next, what? So next episode is our 20th episode.
Okay.
Do you think that's like a milestone episode?
I was thinking 25 would be a milestone.
Okay. Because
it's like a quarter.
That's fine. So there's DC. Nothing immediately comes to mind for DC, but you know, it's also a part of DC.
Vertigo?
Yes, sir.
Do you want to do a Vertigo book?
We could do a Vertigo book.
Which one?
Is what I'm saying. Oh, I actually was considering reading Lucifer. Just like okay. on my own, but that's just for me.
Is Lucifer a Vertigo book?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, there's Why the Last Man?
Ooh, I've never read that.
Oh. Oh, dude. It is so good.
Make sounds like that during sex or not even close?
Not even close, dude. American Vampire is another one that's supposed to be pretty good.
I started it, and I think I read one issue when I bought the trade, and I just like never came back to it.
Really? Okay.
That maybe that's just I wasn't as interested.
Mm-hmm.
I think Why Last Man's a good one.
I think Why is the way to go.
Okay. So what, like the first trade?
First trade. Yep.
How much have you read?
I think I've read two trades in. Two or three.
Okay, so.
And the first trade's just super exciting. And you're like, this is such a good idea.
Okay.
So,
That's good to know.
I think that'd be good. So, yeah. Why the Last Man?
Oh, okay. So, I was like, what the fuck? House is 10. That was book one.
Yep.
Okay, so how many issues is the first trade? Ah, fuck.
It's 5 issues.
Oh, okay, easy peasy.
Yep.
Let's go ahead and borrow that shit.
Yeah, we're going to give it a borrow. By BKV.
Yeah, dude, super good writer. One of the best.
Stephen King said the best graphic novel I've ever read.
Oh, like the writer, okay.
The writer, Stephen King, yeah.
Who's that talk show host, the old one?
Larry King?
Oh. I was like, he reads comics? But yeah. No, the other writer. That's pretty crazy.
All right. Why the Last Man?
Read it. Follow along.
Sure. If you want to. But that's the show for this week.
Or you can just listen. That's fine, too.
Yeah. Listen to our excitement. Engage if you want to read it.
Did we skip a segment?
No. It's Back Matter Matters. Shove it in your box. New book. And then see ya.
That's true. All right. Thank you for listening. You can email us at tradewordspod@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
Suggest things. I changed my Instagram name. It's Real Daniel Alejandro now. And then I'm @DanielAlejandro on TikTok.
So you're going with Daniel Alejandro for things now?
Yeah. Because, dude, like every day my last name gets butchered so much. And I think it's just easier to find.
That's fair.
Okay. You're at The Real Nate, more like Nate Thick. Yep. On Twitter. Are you on Instagram?
@TradeWaitersPod.
@TradeWaitersPod on Twitter.
And yeah, that's everything.
Alrighty.
Thanks for watching, y'all.
Or listening. We're not on the watching yet.
Yeah.
You said I'd much rather watch the book.
Yeah.
Like you said that at one point. I'm like,
did I say that? Yeah. That's so funny. I'm very tired. Peace, y'all.
Later.